Now for the good news, which I have entitled Work as a Spiritual Practice. The concept that work has a spiritual side perhaps seems surprising, but it is a widespread and long-standing concept. Consider the song we sang earlier, in which bread represents the material side of work and roses the spiritual side. This is a song by and for women in the labor movement. Perhaps women understand this better than men. Perhaps it is not chance that I chose this topic while contemplating my mother's life. She had died shortly before I was asked to lead this service, and her life was on my mind. Not just her life as a mother, but also her life as a worker. She exemplified to me the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossian Christians, quote, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." However, I'm getting ahead of myself. I wish to put the topic in historical perspective. In our travels with other members of the Sacramento Archaeological Society, Newty and I recently saw rock art, tens of thousands of years old, left in South Africa by hunter-gatherer ancestors of us all.
Is that a picture up there?
That's a picture up there. That's not a very clear picture. That's been fading for tens of thousands of years. Okay? But they apparently had some better paint back then than we have now. Among these were depictions of ceremonies after the killing of Elend, a large antelope. In these, the procession of hunters was shown, honoring the young person who had just made his first kill. I think that's over there on the right. But there was also an animal head floating above the group, and I think that's over to the left. Our archaeological guide explained that, based on comparisons with surviving cultures, this likely represented the spirit of the dead animal. They were not celebrating their violent victory over the animal, but rather thanking its spirit for giving up its body so the people could have food and clothing. This is perhaps the predecessor of saying grace before meals. Next, attending a lecture on stone technology here in America of about 12,000 years ago, I heard that a very specific form of weapon head called a Clovis point for the town in New Mexico where it was first found had spread rapidly over a large area of North, Central, and even part of South America. The speaker noted that these points were all nearly identical, down to the chipping pattern on the surface. And I would point out the fine quality there. I don't think I could make something that symmetrical in shape with the smaller chips out to the edge and et cetera, et cetera. This is quality work. It was uncertain how this could have been copied so widely and quickly. An idea occurred to me. So I spoke up during questions and answers. Perhaps a song had been composed by which to chip the stones. Songs are more easy to learn and remember than technical explanations, and would result in each worker chipping the same way as each action matched words in the song. I don't know whether this is true or not. I don't even know how to find out, but I think it's a good idea. Advancing another 10,000 years, I wish to point out the role of occupational crafts in the ministry of Jesus. People are mostly aware that Jesus himself was a carpenter and that several of his disciples were fishermen. I wish to call attention to the fact that he used figures of speech based on occupations in his ministry. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." You want another picture? Okay. Another illuminating example is his conversation with a woman at a well in Samaria. And this shows a picture of what an ancient well may have looked like in Judea. Whether this is the one in question, who knows? This episode, recounted in the fourth chapter of the Gospel named for John, is often cited as showing Jesus' acceptance of women as spiritual, which was, his disciples were shocked that he had talked to a woman. The Bible says so, but he did. And often as an example of his disregard for racial and religious differences. They talk about the fact that they worshiped at different temples and so on. But my point is that he connected with her work, which was drawing water from the well by offering her living water. And here's another picture of that same well as it would be today. In old times, you had to lower a bucket down to the pool of water, but now the water can be brought up. But the women still carry the jugs of water and so on. And I don't know how many of you recognize this specific picture. This is the backdrop in a local restaurant, and it was painted by our member, Don Rainey. That's not the whole thing. It's just concentrating on my topic. Moving forward nearly 2,000 more years, when I was entering my teen years, my mother took a job outside our home. I know she did not wish to, having a family of 6 young children, but it was an economic necessity. The job she took was scooping ice cream in a local shop. Oh, wait a minute. I skipped something. Okay. Let me go back 2,000 years. A very important apostle of Jesus was my namesake, Paul. He was highly educated, having studied under Gamaliel, the leading Hebrew scholar of the day, and showing evidence in his writing of a refined knowledge of Greek. He is reported to have debated Stoic and Epicurean philosophers in Athens. But he also had an occupation. In the 18th chapter of the book called Acts of the Apostles, we read, quote, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Emperor Claudius had commanded all Jews to leave Rome. And Paul came to them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked. For by their occupation they were tent makers." So our famous well-educated apostle earned his living by making tents. And here is a picture from an illustrated Bible of Paul working with Aquila and Priscilla on a tent. I also see here the spirit of a craft guild or labor union. Go to town, meet first with your own occupation, work with them, cooperate with them, they'll host you, and you can help them with the work. Now, moving forward, to my mother taking a job scooping ice cream in a local shop. And this actually is her badge from Lindner's Ice Cream in Indianapolis, Indiana. This may seem demeaning. She was the daughter of a chemical engineer and a corporate secretary. Her brother was a mathematics professor, but she applied herself with diligence. After her memorial service 2 weeks ago now, my siblings and I were going through her memorabilia. Employee of the Month Award, then Manager of the Month Award. And I already knew that the chain of ice cream shops had eventually made her Director of Education, in charge of training all new employees. Though I have had the good fortune to be a scientist and to have worked for NASA, I have always sought to respect all occupations. All can and should contribute to the well-being of others in addition to earning pay. I became active in my union local, not because I thought union work would be more fun than designing telescopes, but because I believed it needed to be done. I worked half-time for the union and half-time on science for about 8 years. In the process, I defended everyone from scientists to accountants. By the way, The accountants were better at learning scientific terminology than the scientists were at figuring out that accounting system, which... In the process, I defended everyone from scientists to accountants, nor did I assume the one complaining was always right. I also gained an increased respect for the role of management. I firmly believe, as the Apostle Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthian Christians, that everyone has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Some of my hints now on how to maintain the spiritual aspects of work. When things get stressful, remember meditation. I used that a lot when I was doing the union work. And remember to get away and see what wonders there are elsewhere. And once again, I thank Nudie for taking me to Yosemite to relieve some of my stress. Whistle while you work, even if it must be silently. Just whistle in your head. Focus not on your immediate boss, but on who you ultimately serve. For me, it was the American public who pay taxes and want to know more about galaxies and planets. For others, it may be your store's customers or medical patients your job serves, etc. More recommendations I have are: talk to your friends and acquaintances about work. Learn from each other's experiences. Thank others whose work benefits you. Finally, go see a movie. And watch to the end of the credits. Try to catch a glimpse of the names of the gaffers and grips. Well, they're not up here because this is a cartoon movie instead of a live action movie. Remember, they were just as necessary to the production as the stars. This is from Wikipedia. I mean, look at this list, which doesn't even list the accountants, you know, and all the usual artists and so on. Sure, Walt Disney's name is up there in the middle on the left, but all these people involved in writing, directing it, plus all the artists who drew all the pictures. You see a starring over there. What's it mean to have stars in a cartoon? Oh, they were the voices. They were the people who originally sung the songs that we just heard. Everyone contributed, and many, many more. Remember, they were just as necessary to the production as the stars. Thank you, and have a lovely Labor Day.